Welcome to the Dread Familiar. Tonight I'm bringing you a story of loss and regret. Too often these are topics that are left unaddressed in our everyday lives. Sometimes, when the real thing is too much to handle, these stories can be a way to begin the process of recognizing and working through our own troubled pasts. Thank you so much to everyone who's been listening, and especially to everyone who has made submissions. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe, share, etc., etc., and I'll do my best to keep bringing you the creepiest stories that I can get my hands on. Tonight's story is written by Sherry Hirsch. It was originally published by Columbia College Chicago's online issue of Hair Trigger, Volume 42. Sherry is a Chicago-based writer, currently typing out awesome reviews for new song and album drops online for Ratings Game Music, and releasing fun film and pop culture list articles for Screen Rant. Sherry is a fan of 80s horror, fancy coffee drinks, and late-night drives. If you'd like to get in touch with Sherry on Instagram, it's where_is_Sherry, spelled S-H-A-R-I. The story is being read by Rebecca Hibbs. Becca has no previous experience working as a voice actor, but has been a voracious reader from a young age. She is also, full disclosure, my sister. Before anyone cries out, nepotism, let me remind you that you, too, are invited to read or write for this show. Send your stories or voice auditions to submissions at thedreadfamiliar.com. If you'd like your artwork to be the cover for an episode, or if you have anything interesting to say about horror or fear itself, I'm happy to take those submissions as well. This is Beautiful Savages.
Mama used to brush my hair at night before bedtime. We'd sit on the porch together, feeling the coolness of silk throw rugs beneath our bare thighs. Mama would be behind me, so close I could smell the light fragrance of her violet-scented perfume. Sometimes, she leaned forward so her pretty, heart-shaped face would rest on my shoulder. The point of her chin dug lightly into my skin, but I didn't mind. I loved my special time with Mama. When we were alone together, she'd really talk to me, the same way she did to one of her friends or my aunties. She made me feel special, like I wasn't a baby. I was a woman. Tonight we followed our old ritual. Never follow a man, she whispered into my ear as she brushed out the tangles. Men are foolish, much like that boy from down the street that you like to play with. You're not foolish, Fumi. Don't behave foolishly. Men are foolish, I repeated. I wanted her to know I was listening. Don't become like me, my darling. She'd often say this, though I wasn't really sure I understood what she meant, at least not when I was younger. She was the purest form and embodiment of what a woman was and what a woman should be. Why would I not want to be a goddess in my own right when I was older? I will be whatever you want me to be, I said. As I traced my fingertips over goosebumps forming on my forearm, staring out into the darkness ahead. The outline of black pine trees blanketed around our house, the familiarity giving me a sense of comfort. I had the dream that night. I was down by the beach, surrounded by women, the smell of incense strong in the air, wood and green tea without any hint of sweetness. The women all had thick, black hair, milk-colored skin, coal black eyes, and blood red lips. Masks made out of broken skulls adorned half of their faces, from forehead to nose. They didn't speak. Instead, they waved their hands through the air, slashing at nothing with long yellow nails. Their smiles were the worst thing I'd ever seen. Hideous. Their teeth were plastic zippers, sealed shut and glowing. One of them, smaller than the others, became curious of me. She wore over her naked body a trailing silky robe of yellow and blue. She approached me, and when we were face to face, she lifted her hand and unzipped the toggle at the end of her mouth with one of her long fingernails. She licked my cheek, her tongue cold and smooth against my skin. I stepped back to look at her. I had the strangest sense of familiarity and a desperate urge to look away from the gruesome sight. She licked me again, and I shuddered. Her tongue was a bright green color, with two small black eyes and a long forked pink tongue of its own. Her tongue was a snake. I told Mama about the dream in the morning before breakfast. She sniffed and waved her hand through the air over a cloud of steam that erupted after she lifted the lid off a pot of rice. "Nereona," she whispered, biting her lips. "The snake woman." I thought of the old folktale, an amphibious beast with the body of a snake and the face of an angelic woman. I rubbed the sleep from my eyes as I shook my head. "No, Mama. The serpent was inside her, not a part of her body." I watched as Mama flew through the kitchen in her pale robe. Her waist-length hair flicked so quickly it became a blur, smacking against her back. "It's bewitchment," she said as I followed her to the table. Mama artfully placed down the china bowls, along with a steaming plate of rice, a pot of soup, and some fish she'd bought early that morning down at the market. "I just worry about you, my Fumi. You know your grandma's mania started with dreams." "I know," I replied, as I sunk down into one of the cushions on the floor as Mama raced back into the kitchen. I felt my appetite drain away, leaving a hollowness in the pit of my stomach. Bad dreams. Mama said they would cause Grandma to bolt out of bed before sunrise. She'd glide through the house, looking blood-drained, chalk-white, as though she'd seen an apparition, whispering to herself, speaking of spirits and a dark presence. Mama said her passing was a blessing. It gave her peace. I could feel Mama's eyes on me. She was thinking about her, too. Her lower lip quivered slightly, as it did sometimes, when she was about to cry. "Eat up," she said. "Let's not worry our minds about such things right now." She sat down, brushing out the wrinkles from her robe before she grabbed one of the bowls. We ate in silence. Morning came and went quickly. I did my chores, sweeping and tidying around the house, before I took Tom for a walk. We headed east, past the forest. Tom nipped at my heels and barked at our neighbor Kyoshi when he came down the pathway. "Good afternoon, Fumi," he said. "It's lovely today, isn't it?" I fought a grin as I stared at his forever messy, shaggy black hair. I'd met Kyoshi when I was 5 and he was 6. We bonded quickly over a love of digging up earthworms in the gardens and building them magical castles made out of newspapers and plastic scraps. Mama didn't approve. "Yes, it is," I replied, watching as pink spots appeared on his cheeks. "How is your mother?" he asked. As he knelt down to pet Tom, I noticed that his shoulders were beginning to broaden out and the pudgy mound of baby fat around his belly was gone. It was strange. As a child, he'd been much rounder and was often teased for being overweight. Suddenly, he was like staring at a stranger. I hadn't noticed us changing as the years went by, but suddenly, I felt all too aware. I stared down at Tom. "She's doing really well, Kyoshi." "That's good. So the doctor's treatments are helping then?" I opened my mouth. "Kyoshi!" A voice rung out from behind the trees. "Coming!" he replied, jumping up and brushing the grass stains from his knees. I felt an urge to ask him to stay, but couldn't get the words to come out. "I must go," he said to me, before turning toward the trees. He seemed to disappear so quickly, it was as if he'd never been there at all. "Bye, Kyoshi," I whispered to the rustling branches. I wouldn't be telling Mama about our quick run-in. The older Kyoshi got, the more she seemed to disapprove of him hanging around. Tom barked. We headed back home for lunch. Mama and I ate rice balls stuffed with umeboshi and eggs on the porch. "I have spoken with your auntie Teru about your dream." I looked up at her, my mouth still full with a bite of pickled plum. It tingled on my lips. "Why, Mama?" Her brows raised as she gave me a look. Her fingernails tapped on her collarbone briefly. "I'm only doing what I must." Despite my opposition, I remained quiet. "This is for the best, Fumi," she said. Off in the trees somewhere came a high-pitched shriek. It startled me, but Mama ignored it. I fear that something is coming for you, my darling. Something coarse and wicked. Nothing is coming for me, Mama. She stared out into the sea of trees, but didn't respond. That night, I could not sleep. My mind wandered as I thought of conversations with my mother, our special time on the porch where we'd share stories. Sometimes when Mama was feeling up to it, she'd talk about her family, telling stories about growing up with my grandma and grandpa. Sometimes I'd imagine what they were like based off Mama's stories since they passed before I was born. Your grandpa was a handsome man, Mama told me one night as she tucked me in for bed. Many women thought so, but he chose your grandma. Mama paused briefly to shoo away a bug on the windowsill before returning to the bed. Handsome, but very serious. He didn't have time for anything he considered frivolous. There were only a handful of times during which we spoke alone together. It was very different with Grandma. I remembered staring up at her intently as I asked her what she meant. We'd have adventures, Mama said as her eyes twinkled with happy memories. We'd dress up in our best outfits, our hair done up, and storm through the gardens to dig for buried treasure. Drape sheets over low tree branches and pretend we lived in castles far away. Mama wrapped her arm around me as she pulled me in close to her warm body. But Papa would yell at her when we tracked in mud, and when he found the sheets torn and dirty with bugs and leaves. Her voice grew softer. It broke her spirit. Don't be sad, Mama, I said as I wrapped my arm around her waist. We can still have adventures now. At least your grandma had someone, Mama said, ignoring me as if I hadn't spoken. At least she wasn't all alone. You're not alone, Mama, I said. You'll always have me. Forever. She stared down at me and smiled. Forever, she echoed, as she ran her fingers through my hair. Forever and always. 2 more hours passed before I fell asleep. But in my dreams, my mind took me back to the world of these beautiful savages. They watched me. Their cruel-looking eyes seemed to dance beneath the strange skeleton masks they wore. They howled like titan gods when I begged them to take me back through the smoke swirls to the mental sanctuary of my home in the loving arms of Mama. I tried to wake up, but they held down my slight form, their talon-like nails digging into my shoulders. Their rancid breath was warm on my cheeks. Those primal creatures laughed high-pitched howls as they sniffed at my dark hair, breathing in my soap-scented limp locks. Their teeth gnawed at my small, pouty lips, and when they drew my blood, relishing in the salty taste with cries of joy, I screamed. When I looked out, I saw the outline of the city in the distance against a starless sky filled with dragons that looked flimsy as tissue paper. Their wings fluttered in the cool breeze. I watched silently. Then it began to rain. It streamed down, water black and corrosive as battery acid. The dragon's wings of red and gold melted to nothing. The women holding me down threw back their heads and wailed. The rain burned away their hair, their skeleton masks. Their skin, which once seemed so beautifully creamy and soft, was eaten away, chunk by chunk. It left behind hideous faces, skulls with small chunks of muscle hanging limply off the bone. In the morning, Mama asked me to go to temple with her to pray. It will help, my darling. Yaru recommended it. My auntie was just as eccentric as my mother. I sighed. All right, Mama. After breakfast, we headed west through the forest toward the temple. It must have rained the night before. The air was crisp and fresh. Dewdrops trailed off oversized ferns, and the earth was moist. The mud soaked itself through the hems of my dress. I trailed behind Mama, watching my feet as they sank into the ground with each step. When I looked up, she was gone. Mama? I called out, scanning the trees. The forest was quiet. I could not hear her footsteps, see her tracks, nor hear her voice calling back to me. Mama! I said louder. Her disappearance made me feel nervous. I did not want to be alone. Not now. The forest was still, save for the chirping of birds and humming of crickets. I raced the last mile to the temple. Mama! I cried. My voice bounced off the trees, echoing back to me. I could see the temple up ahead. Rainwater dripped off the top of the sloped roof, collecting in a large puddle near the base. I raced up the pathway and through the gate, almost falling on a slippery stone on the path. When I got to the steps, I slowed down out of respect. The door felt slightly sticky in my hands as I slid it open. I moved quickly but quietly through the room, searching. "Mama!" I hissed. "Where are you?" At the end of the main hallway, I slid open another door leading to a small room perfumed with jasmine incense. Colorfully decorated banners hung from the walls, and a small wooden table held a bowl of pears and figs. "Mama," I whispered to the figure crouched down on a mat. She lifted her head. "Darling, Mama, why didn't you wait for me?" She grinned. "You're here now, dear. That's all that matters. Come," she waved her arm. "Sit with me." I was so confused. My head felt strangely heavy and cloudy. Mama had a bad hip. How could she have gotten here so fast? "Fumi?" I began to chew on my nails. Nasty habit. One Mama had always tried to discourage, but with a little success. "Fumi!" My left hand dropped from my mouth, and I moved to join her. After we'd finished, Mama and I walked silently down the paths outside. The gardens were beautiful and artfully arranged with sculptures, rockeries, and ornamental decor. Beneath a red maple tree, a small bronze Buddha smiled at us cheerfully, his large belly exposed from his cloths. As Mama and I walked past a statue, a man in brown robes brushed past. He nodded to us. "Good afternoon," I said. "Lovely day," said Mama. He grinned at me, revealing a few missing teeth. "Enjoying your visit?" he said before continuing further down towards the low shrub. "The new additions on the pathways are nice," I said. "I noticed you removed the fox statue that used to be by the gate," Mama said. "I found that very disappointing." For some reason, the man ignored Mama and instead turned to me. His eyes crinkled as the sun poked out from behind the clouds and beamed down on us. "Best be off," he said. "Gotta fish out the maple leaves that keep falling in the pond." We stayed another half hour before heading home. When we returned, I told Mama that I had a headache. She made me a wrap, dipped in essential oils, and placed it on my forehead while I rested on some cushions. The soothing smell of lavender and wild mint made me feel relaxed and sleepy. I must have drifted off. When I woke up, it was nighttime. "Mama?" I called out to the dark room. "Mama, where are you?" I waited to hear, "Right here, darling!" But it never came. The dried cloth had fallen off my forehead while I slept and was resting by my stomach. I threw it to the floor and shivered. Our house seemed so cold. As my eyes adjusted to the light, I realized something else was wrong. The room was torn to bits. The curtains were shredded, hanging limply from their poles, the tables overturned. The air smelled like rotten eggs, moldy carpet, and feces. "Mama!" I cried. There was no response. I leaped up. "Where are you?" I screamed. I ran to the kitchen and fell onto my stomach. The floor was slippery. The wood looked rotten and was eaten away. I burst into tears. "Help!" I croaked out. "Woof!" Tom ran up to me and licked my cheek. I stared at him. "Tom, what's happened to you?" His fur hung over his eyes, was matted on one side, and he smelled awful. "Oh, Tom!" I cried, brushing back the fur from his head. "What's happening?" Together, we moved through the house. I found that the windows were smashed, the food was rotting, and the porch, our beloved porch, was broken. There was a crack right down the middle, like a giant fist slammed down through the woodwork. Tom ran up to the hole, looked down, and howled. I pulled him away and went back inside to the cupboard. The broom in the closet was coated in a layer of dust. I wiped it off on my dress, went down the hall, and began to sweep away a broken vase. I spent the night cleaning. I sobbed occasionally. Eventually, I fell asleep on the floor. When I woke up, the house remained in the same state of disarray, now with sunlight streaming in through the broken windows. There was no breakfast. I spent the morning in the forest, calling out Mama's name. I didn't find her, but noticed that the forest, too, seemed to be in a worse state than what I remembered. Trees were split and on their sides. Flower beds tramped and the stones that lined the pathways were gone. Instead of lunch, I hiked back out to the temple. Perhaps she was there, I could only hope. It was all I had left now. This time I ran up to the gate and raced up the stairs with no pretenses. Mama! I screamed, running through the rooms, startling several people mid-prayer. After I had checked every room, I ran out to the gardens. I called out for her, smashing the wildflowers with my boots and knocking over small sculptures. I ignored the damage. I had only one goal, one focus. Mama! I screamed. The man from the other day, the one in the brown robes, looked up at me from his spot underneath a willow tree and smiled. Hello! Lovely day, isn't it? I ignored him, scanning the grounds. Are you all right? He called out. I turned to him. No! May I help? He asked. A thought came to me. Have you seen my mother? His brow furrowed. Your mother? Yes, the woman I was here with the other day. You saw us, remember? His face paled. I remember you, but not your mother. You were alone. I glared at him. No, she spoke to you. You said it was a lovely afternoon. His face wrinkled as he shook his head. I spoke to you, and you were alone. I clenched my teeth, my fingers curled into fists, biting into my palms. I wasn't! I sank to the ground. I wasn't. Why don't you go back inside? The man asked, moving closer. Perhaps someone inside can help you. No! I shrieked, pounding into the dirt with my fists. No! You're lying! About yesterday? About Mama? I began to cry. Stop lying! The man looked alarmed. Is everything all right out here? Called a man from the front porch. Help me! I cried. Please! He's lying to me! I said, pointing up to the man in the brown robes. The man on the porch raced down to us. Fumi, is that you? The man asked. I stared at his face. It was Akio. Mama knew him better than I did. He sold us our furniture. Fumi was wrong. I can't find her, I cried. I hit the dirt again with my fist. She's gone! He crouched down. Who? Mama! She's gone! He frowned. Fumi, what do you mean? I can't find her! My house! Our house is torn apart and she's... What's she talking about? Questioned the man in the brown robes. Akio turned to look at him. She thinks her mother's here. No, she's gone. She's gone. Yes, she is, Fumi, he said gently, putting a hand on my shoulder. Your mother, your family passed on. I let out a wail, smacking away his hand. No! Fumi, I know the accident was very hard on you. No! I cried. Kyoshi, he asked the other day about mother. Shosan? I stare up at him, pleading. Oh, child, he said quietly. The typhoon got them, too. I tore at the ends of my hair. I wanted to hit him for lying to me. No! He stared down at me, expressionless. Yes, child, he said. Akio turned towards the man in the brown robes before telling him. I hadn't realized how bad it's gotten. She's not a child, and even though she's been alone, I thought things were improving. Ignoring them, I stared up at the clouds. But what about the dreams? Dreams? They're coming for me! He sighed. Who? Demons, he whispered. Ariana. No, he said softly. I closed my eyes. I couldn't take seeing the pity etched into his face. Yes! He was wrong. He had to be. Please, Fumi, he said. Akio stood up and offered me his hand. Stop this madness. I stared up at him. You're wrong. They're coming for me. He glanced over at the other man and gestured for him to come closer. I know, child. I know. They led me back into the temple while people gathered around outside, stared openly, but I didn't care. They led in down the halls, all the way back to a small room and motioned for me to rest on a green couch. The man in brown robes offered me a patchwork quilt that was ragged on one end. I wrapped myself up and sank back into the cushions. Try to rest, said Akio. I wanted to answer, but my body wouldn't stop shaking. I didn't understand any of it. When the two men walked away, I closed my eyes. They were wrong. Mama always said men were great deceivers. That was it. They were lying. But then I started to remember. It had been 6 months. 6 months since the storms had struck, destroying the house and taking away my mama. Instead of staying home to care for her, I'd gone outside to hike through the forest. I had told Mama I was going to run errands, a pointless excuse to get out of the house. And Kyoshi! I'd run into him on my way back. Maybe if I hadn't stopped, but I'd wanted to stop. I'd wanted to see him. Maybe if I hadn't, Mama would still be with me. The tears returned. Mama had struggled so much by the end, just like she said Grandma had. It came on sudden, just like the dreams had taken her. They'd begun to take Mama, too. I'd spent countless nights waking up in darkness, the sky still pitch black outside. I'd rub the sleep from my eyes and force myself out of bed. I would hear her whispering, talking about monsters, demon women who were coming for her. When she'd let me, I'd guide her back to bed, but sometimes she'd become hysterical and begin screaming. I'm so sorry, Mama. It was an accident. Nothing more. We'd known the storm was coming. I'd tried my best to board up the house. Mama had even seemed lucid that day. I'll see you soon, darling, she'd called out to me as I walked out of the house without looking back. The rain was already heavy by the time I'd got back, and the winds were too strong. I should have stopped her from running outside. I shouldn't have argued or yelled as she ran further away. I didn't mean it, Mama, the things I said. I choked on breath. The tears wouldn't stop. Mama, 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 I whispered. I want to see you. I miss you so much. I grabbed the cushion and buried my face into it. I'm right here, darling. I looked up, but the room remained empty. Wiping away tears, I dabbed at the wet spots on the cushion before I rested it behind my head. I was tired now, so tired that I felt as if I could sleep for the next 100 years. I shut my eyes and waited. I dreamed, and in my dreams came the women, with their snake mouths, masks, and talon-like nails. As I stared at the crowd, the small creature wearing the yellow and blue robe stepped forward and removed her mask. Hello, darling, she said. I felt tears run down my cheeks. Even with a forked tongue and bone jutting out from her skull, I still recognized my mama. The women smiled at me, and this time, when they smiled, I was not afraid. My mama beckoned me, and without fear, I stepped forward. The women came, circling me like prey. Their tongues slid out, ready to devour. They hissed, and their nails scraped my cheeks. I knew what they wanted. They wrapped themselves around me, their skin sticking to mine. It felt ice cold. They wanted me to let them in. They wanted to be inside of me, mind, body, and spirit belonging to these dark, monstrous creatures. So with nothing left to lose, I let them take me away. I love you, Mama, I whispered to the nothingness before the world around me went black.
I hope you enjoyed tonight's story. This was our first trip to Japan on this show, and I relished the opportunity to be multiculturally frightening. Don't forget to send me any feedback or submissions at thedreadfamiliar.com. The Dread Familiar is created and hosted by Joel Hackett. Tonight's story was written by Sherry Hirsch and read by Becca Hibbs. Thank you for listening. Good night.